John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. And then from 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 24. Therefore, show these men the proof of your love and the reason for our pride in you, so that the churches can see it. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Will y'all join me in prayer? Let's go to God. Lord God, we've been singing your praises. We've been listening to music that inspires our hearts. And Lord God, we have been praying and praying unceasingly. May we continue to pray now, Lord, as we engage your word. Open us up, Lord, to new perspectives, to new understandings, Lord, to transformation. Be with this preacher, Lord, on this day, that my words be your words. Amen. Happy Thanksgiving! I can do that now because this is Thanksgiving Sunday. I love Thanksgiving. And this coming Thursday, we are going to be celebrating in myriad ways. Some of us will be in our homes, we'll be with family and friends. There will be turkey or ham or meatloaf or tofu or whatever. There will be parades, there will be football. There will be all sorts of things on TV. It will be a day of celebration. There will be those of us that are going to have to work on that day, right? Those of us who are emergency workers that are always on call. Those of us that will have to work at a store that's wanting to get a jump on Black Friday, right? And so I ask that we keep all of our workers on Thanksgiving in prayer as we come into the season. But I love Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is not just a way station holiday in between Halloween and Christmas. Can we not just be grateful that we have a designated day to express our gratefulness? Amen? And I hope that you all have a blessed Thanksgiving. One thing that all of us who follow Jesus can be thankful for on Thursday, really on every day, is how we have this amazing opportunity to grow. Not physically necessarily, although Thanksgiving will add to that, but to grow spiritually. How? Well, by growing in love of God and neighbor. It's a day that we're thankful for that love that we're going to grow in, and thankful for spiritual practices that we can engage that can help us to grow in that love. Being able to worship right now here in this place and on Wednesday evenings at the table, it's awesome. Being able to be a part of a small group in our church, in a Christian community where we come together and we share life together, whether it's in our various Sunday schools, whether it's in our other small groups like our United Women of Faith, United Methodist Men, our Crochet Group, our online BEMA Discipleship Bible Study Group, that's a long name, all these different groups, to be a part of the amazing ministries that our family event team is doing, like staying after church today to do some hanging of the greens to get ready for Advent. This is all awesome. To be able to read the Bible each day, awesome. To be able to pray to God each day, multiple times a day, awesome. To reach out and to serve another in love, awesome. And underlying all of these spiritual practices, well, is a unselfish willingness to share ourselves with others for the betterment of the world and sharing Jesus Christ. Yes, I'm talking about underneath all of these spiritual practices is another spiritual practice that we can engage, and that's a spiritual practice that's also a fruit of the Spirit, and that is generosity. And it's this generosity than that we can be extravagant in. We were created by an extravagant God who calls us to be extravagant in our generosity in our life. Now, for the past several weeks, we've been talking about this extravagant generosity, haven't we? And utilizing the insights of Bishop Robert Schnese of the Rio, Texas Conference, he wrote many books. He's kind of good at that topic. We've learned some things about extravagant generosity, and I feel like we need to share what we've learned so far. You know, we've learned that our spiritual health and vitality, well, you can take a test on that by how we as individual followers of Jesus and churches engage in extravagant generosity. The more that we engage in extravagantly sharing of ourselves, of our time, our talents and treasures, the more spiritually healthy our spiritual EKG will be. Undergirding the discipline of extravagant generosity is another fruit of the Spirit, and that is love. And when we practice extravagant generosity, when we are giving toward others, then we are sharing love, and it shines a spotlight on the relationships that we have with God and with each other. And finally, last week we talked about how each of us have our own dreams and visions, right? But as we engage in extravagant generosity, well, our dreams and visions can grow. And as we set our hearts on those things that are on high, as they say in Colossians, then our dreams and visions can become part of what God's dreams and visions can be. We have God-sized visions that God has for all of us and for our church. That's what it means to practice spiritual extravagant generosity. Friends, bottom line, this is what we are called to do. And that is to share of ourselves in extravagant generosity with others. Sharing of our time, sharing of our talents, our abilities, sharing of our treasures. For God so loved the world that he... You are right, even as you kept going on. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son so that everyone who believes in him may not perish but may have eternal life. How does God show love in the world? By giving. God gave, God gives, God keeps on giving. This Thanksgiving, I want you to take this scripture, John 3:16, to heart. Don't take it for granted. It is uber familiar to everyone. Even if you've never been to church, everybody knows John 3:16. It is not just a scriptural reference that's painted on our chest during Chiefs games. John 3:16. In such a beautifully simple way, expresses just how extravagantly God gives. God gave his only son. And why? Well, because God loves the world. Everyone in the world. God created everyone, our friends and our enemies. And God loved the world so much that all who believe may have an opportunity not to live an empty life, but to live an abundant and eternal life filled with God's Spirit. What an amazing, extravagant God we have. We are created in the image of God, are we not? Didn't Genesis teach us that? The Imago Dei, that's a fancy Latin term, just means image of God. We are created in the image of God, which means that God's character is imprinted on all of us. If our God is an extravagantly generous God, then we too are called to be extravagantly generous. The early church understood that well. Shannon shared with you the words that Paul wrote to the churches in Corinth in his second letter. But I want to share a few more words. You see that eighth chapter of 2 Corinthians is all about extravagant generosity, because Paul is talking to the church in Corinth about being part of something bigger than they are, and that is an offering to help support churches around their known world at the time. And Paul says something like this. He says, "Brothers and sisters, we want to let you know about the grace of God that was given to the churches of Macedonia." Say that with me, Macedonia. It's a beautiful word. "While they were being tested by many problems," these Macedonians, "their extra amount of happiness and their extreme poverty resulted in a surplus of rich generosity. I assure you that they gave what they could afford, and even more than they could afford, and they did it voluntarily. They urgently begged us for the privilege of sharing in this service for the saints. They even exceeded our expectations because they gave themselves to the Lord first and to us, consistent with God's will. Be the best in this work of grace in the same way that you are the best in everything, such as faith, speech, knowledge, total commitment, and the love we inspired in you. I'm not given an order, but by mentioning the commitment of others, I'm trying to prove the authenticity of your love also. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ." Do you? "Although he was rich, he became poor for your sakes, so that you could become rich through his poverty. I'm giving you my opinion about this. Finish the job as well as you finish it, as with much enthusiasm as you started, given what you can afford. A gift is appreciated because of what a person can afford, not because of what a person can't afford, if it's apparent that it's done willingly. It isn't that we want others to have financial ease and you financial difficulties, but it's a matter of equality. At the present moment, your surplus can fill their deficit so that in the future, their surplus can fill your deficit. In this way, there is equality. As it is written, the one who gathered more didn't have too much, and the one who gathered less didn't have too little. So show them the proof of your love and the reason we are proud of you in such a way that the churches can see it." Paul understood extravagant generosity, and the church would not have exploded into the world and been transformed had it not been for the extravagant generosity of the churches then. And the churches wouldn't be growing now if not for the extravagant generosity of the disciples of Jesus Christ. If you are a disciple of Jesus Christ, then you give. You give. We are encouraged to practice extravagant generosity. We share of our time and our talents and our treasures. But it's not an easy thing to share this generosity. You know, I think that we find it easier. We can worship together. We can pray together. We can have a small group time together. We can even go and serve one another with greater ease, perhaps, than we can give. See, those are all spiritual disciplines, but the spiritual discipline of extravagant generosity, well, that challenges a little bit. Not in our sharing of our time. Not in sharing of our talents, really. Although that can be a challenge as well. It really is in the sharing of our treasures, of our material wealth, of our money. That's a five-letter word, isn't it? Yes. Quit counting my head. Yeah. Money. That's a tough thing to talk about. You know, I get it. I do. A few weeks ago, I took part in a little exercise. I took a money autobiography. Have you guys ever heard of that, a money autobiography? Underneath this little exercise is the understanding that my attitudes about money and my relationship with money actually comes from my household of origin and how they talked about money, how they dealt with money, how they understood money, and how that filtered down to me. So this money autobiography, I looked in the past, and I look at what's going on now. And I discovered some things. I began to discover why, when I started coming back to the church, I had a real hard time giving to the church, because I did. I've shared that with you before. But I began to understand why. And I began to understand why I was blessed with the joy of giving later. You see, growing up in my household, money was tight. How about you? Money tight? There were five of us kids. There was Judy and Jerry, 9 years, then me, Robin, and Chris. And money was tight. Lots of potato cakes we ate from those leftover mashed potatoes. Salmon cakes. We didn't go out to eat much. Money was tight. There was a band trip to Mexico my junior year. I didn't know if I was going to be able to go. I sold candy bars. But I really didn't know if I was going to be able to go because the expense seemed so much. But my folks made a way. And you know what? I knew money was tight, and that affected my tight hold later. But I also knew that we were content with less at the time. Something else, a memory now that comes from my family of origin too, and I had to write this down because I treasure this memory. I didn't at the time, but I treasure it now. It's a collection of memories that I have, and that is of my dad sitting at the dining room table with his serious news editor face. And it was like kind of like this. And what he would do is that he would have these stacks that, you know, apparently those were bills. And he would start to write check. But the first check that he always wrote was the South Street Christian Church. And that was his tithe check. And when I was a little kid, that didn't seem to bother me. When I was an older kid and there were things that I wanted, hey, Dad, why are you writing that check to the church first? He said, that's because that's what you do. And that stayed with me. I don't know why, but that helped me later when I started to give more and more as the Spirit led me, as I became more spiritually mature as a follower of Jesus. And I'm still working on that, by the way. My folks gave something known as a tithe. Some of you have heard that word before, a tithe. And a tithe is not a law that you have to do. It's like Paul said, I'm not giving you an order. But what a tithe is a biblical and a traditional example of how we can engage giving. Listen to this. We've talked about this all the time, and I saw your heads nodding. Everything belongs to God, right? Yeah, you might earn money, and people give you stuff, but it all comes from God. So as part of what we give, you know, there's just this 10%, right? Just this 10% that comes back. That's what that tithe is. We could talk about where that goes back in our Bible. I find it all the way back in Genesis 14. Good old high priest Melchizedek. He comes back in the book of Hebrews. You can look that up in Genesis 14 when he offers a tenth to Abraham, or Abram as he was known at the time. But the 10% doesn't mean that we're all called to right now to give that 10%. Let me tell you my own experience. As I was worried about giving to something that was foreign to me, which was the ministries of the church, Tammy and I began to give, you know, a dollar here, a dollar there, as we felt comfortable. We gave more than a dollar. But you know what I'm saying? Do you? We gave as we felt like we could, because, man, we still had kids for a long time while we were in my home church. And later I started going to school, I started getting debt, still paying off seminary debt. Truth be told. But at the time, we were given what we could, and then we tried this thing called proportional giving. We could not give 10%, so we started, well, what does it look like to give 1% of our yearly offering here? What does it mean to give 5% of what we could give? And I thought it would be so hard as we were doing all this, but it seemingly became easier. And then we went for it. We went for the 10%. I'm thankful that I was part of a church community that didn't judge Tammy and I for what we could or couldn't give. And I don't judge anyone here for what they can or can't give, because I know what it means to have that struggle with that spiritual discipline. Some people have found great difficulty. A friend of mine said that tithing, it's like it's not enough to break you, but to get your attention, right? Bishop Schnazy talks about a friend that said when they wrote their first tithe check, felt like they swallowed an avocado pit. It's not easy, but the one thing that we've noticed is that we've been blessed in the giving. And church, I'm not going to ever encourage you to do something I'm not willing to do myself. So Tammy and I, we tithe. We actually give more than a tithe now, and I've got my reasons for that. But I want to tell you why we give a tithe. It's because we love you. It has nothing to do with what this church needs or doesn't need. It has everything to do with love. We love God so much, and we love you so much. And so we give as we give to the wonderful mission of this church to make new followers of Jesus for the transformation of the world by our vision of connecting with the disconnected in a Jesus-centered life. And this is why we give. Because of extravagant generosity, we are able to worship in this place on this day. Some of us delightfully warm, some of us a little hot. But we got heat when we could be freezing. We're able to worship in a coffee shop on Wednesday nights because of extravagant generosity. We're able to stream live worship because of extravagant generosity over and beyond what has been given here normally. We're able to go out and serve our community through extravagant generosity. And we had the dream and the vision of doing even more. You see, as we go into 2023, God is going to be leading us to be even more extravagantly generous. Because we're going to be about transforming this town of ours. Are you ready? We're going to do things like, I don't know, adopt a classroom in one of our public schools so that we can connect with the children and the teachers there. We've been kind of holding back on that, but we're going to do that. So that this time next year, if your pastor is still here, we're going to be talking about how we connect with one of our Sunday school, or excuse me, one of our public school classrooms. We're going to somehow connect even more with ministries in our town that feed people, that provide clothing for people, and find a way more than this town has been able to do to find shelter for people. You see, this is a dream and vision that I have, because we have this vision and dream to connect with people. People that are here, but people who are not here. Don't you want to share Jesus with other people? That's the mission and vision we have. And that's why we give. And I believe that's why you give too. So I want to invite you to do something now. You got this in the mail. You might have picked up one last week. You got one today if you didn't. And that is, you've got these generosity cards. This is where, friends, we are going to be making a declaration of our hearts and our extravagant generosity for 2023. I filled out the top portion for Tammy and I. I'm showing it to Tammy for the first time. But we talked about it, right? Yeah. I filled it out like we talked about, Tam. So there's a part on the front where you are challenged to share financially as you can in your extravagant generosity. And on the back, there's a place where you can share of your time and your talents as well in ministries that are there. At the bottom, you can kind of, there's a little place where you can fill out that this is what you keep, so you got to fold it. And you just tear that off. You keep that part because that reminds you of what you have decided that you are going to give financially. So this will be placed on your, you put this on your refrigerator or something just to remind you. So in a moment, I'm going to have you all come up here and declare your heart for our ministry. Some of you, there's a place here where you say, I'm unable to give at this time. That's okay, and I understand that. You can mark that here. And you can, you know, that way you could just say, you know, but we still are sharing of our time and our talents. And so just want to let you know, in a moment, we're going to invite you to come forward. I'm going to have a prayer. Kathy is going to play some beautiful music. And then you are invited to come up and to place your generosity card in this basket right here. And you know, we as Christians, we kind of, this is a, there are places where we publicly affirm our faith in Jesus. This is one of those times. So I invite you, as you feel led, to bring up your card, to place it in this basket, and if you'd like to, you can spend time at the prayer rail as well. We have an amazing, extravagant, generous God. Let us know that blessing of how our extravagant generosity will change this town of Harrisonville so that it will be known for its heart. Will you pray with me? Loving God, as we make our commitment this day on this Thanksgiving Day Sunday in grateful gratitude and thankful thanksgiving. Oh, precious Lord, we just thank you for the opportunity to share our faith. Lord God, we ask for your blessing on each commitment card, each generosity card that is dropped in this basket, Lord, that we may realize the mission for more followers for you so that lives will be changed, so people will have abundant life. That, Lord God, well, words escape me. Just your Holy Spirit blessings, Lord, on all we can share. It's in your precious and beautiful name we pray. Amen.